Well, good morning. Whoa, good morning. We're all awake now. I'm sure you're not awake. Wasn't that choir wonderful? Children, it's so great to have you with us. I know you do lots of things with Pastor Becky and other people regularly, but it's great for you to be here with us, kids. You really bless us. We hope we can bless you a little bit as well. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for time this morning to be together as a whole family. I ask that you help us to understand your Bible together. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let me just say, Pastor Abe and Pastor Josh and a few others are away right now. They're in Manitoba. It was meant to be minus 18. For one of the days that they were there. So it's raining here today, but it's not minus 18. So I guess we're glad we're not in Manitoba. They're learning more about church renewal, so we're very excited to hear about what they've learned about when they come back. My name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors of the English congregation here, and let me add my welcome to Latchmi. So I just want to speak to the kids at the beginning and say that the adults have been learning about something called spiritual gifts. And what I want to do today is speak a little bit to the adults, but I also want to talk to the children so you can know what the adults have been learning about. So today is the last talk on spiritual gifts in a whole series, and it's going to be something of a summary, and you can kids learn about what we've been learning about in the adults, and you can tell the adults what to think if they've got them things wrong in their own heads. So I am going to ask my helper, Ken, to come forward. Ken's going to be having a mic as well. I have something that I need help with. Yeah, what is it? Yeah.
Hey,
Well,
Pastor.
hello, Ken. I need help with this.
Pastor Ben, what is that?
Why don't you stand a bit closer?
Yeah, what is that? It looks like a really big box.
Yeah. I think it's a really big present.
Did you say a big pheasant? You're telling me that there's a big bird inside.
No, I said it's a big present.
Oh, a big present. I
Oh,
totally heard
Ken.
that.
Oh, Ken. Well, there's a label there. What does the label say?
It says, from the Holy Spirit to the church.
Oh, interesting.
Wonder what that means.
Okay. Well, let's open it up.
This one says the gift of pastoring, and there's a name on it. It says it belongs to Pastor Ben.
Wow.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah,
That's
wow.
great.
Hey, this is really cool. I like this. It says the gift of administration. It says it belongs to Uncle Albert. Uncle Albert.
Is Albert here?
No.
Someone can go find Albert.
I think he can hear us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this one says David Ow on it. This says the gift of security keeping. David, would you like to come get your gift?
This one says the gift of encouragement, and it belongs to Auntie Bernice.
Is Bernice here? You can come get your gifts.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if she's here or not. This one says the gift of evangelism. We're not sure who that belongs to yet. We're still growing.
This one says the gift of teaching, and it belongs to Uncle Peter.
Yeah, I think Peter's away. I was
Yeah.
going to give that to him. This one says the gift of mercy. I think it belongs to Esther Leung, I think. I think, is
Ah.
she here? She's in the nursery. Yeah,
Oh, okay.
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
This one says the words are, yeah, gift is words of wisdom.
And
And we don't know who that belongs to yet.
yeah, but maybe it belongs to somebody.
Yeah.
This one is the gift of tongues. We're also not sure who that belongs to, but I'm sure there's some people it belongs to.
Oh, this one's really big.
Oh yeah, what's that
Can you
one?
help me with this?
What's that one? This one is the words of healing. Oh, so some
Whoa.
of them we're still looking for the owner for.
Yeah. This one says the gift of prophecy.
Yeah, that's great.
Whoa.
Okay, there's one more. I think this one's for you, Ken.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It says your name on it.
I don't see it. Maybe I will.
Wow, that's really exciting.
Ah, okay.
So,
sure.
That's really great.
I'm excited to try it out.
Yeah. Well, Ken, why don't you go try and using your gift, and we'll check back later and see how that's going. How's that sound?
Sounds good, Pastor.
Thank you for your help, Ken. That's been really great. So, children, spiritual gifts are from the Holy Spirit, and they're maybe a little bit like a talent, a skill. That's not quite the right way of talking about it. We call it a gift. It's something from God to you, and it's for using for you using to help other people, to help the church. Spiritual gifts are from Him, and they're like talents we use to help other people. And Ken just got the gift of encouragement, so I'm excited about that. So we read, thank you, Lakshmi, for reading 1 Peter chapter 4, and Peter talks about spiritual gifts, and he uses a very interesting phrase about spiritual gifts. Now, I don't have my clicker, so we're going to have to work together. Thank you, Winston, that's great. So 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." So Peter says, spiritual gifts are God's grace in various forms. We could translate that another way for the next. So we could translate it, the diverse grace of God, or even better, I like this one, the multicolored grace of God. Peter is talking about spiritual gifts, and he uses the word grace, and he describes them as multicolored. So as Christians, we normally talk about one kind of grace, a grace that's got only one color. That's saving grace. As Christians, we talk about the salvation we have from Jesus Christ. As we sang about this morning, His death on the cross has meant that we can be friends with God, and that's called grace. And we might call that the one color of grace. That's the main color. But Peter says there are other kinds of grace too. We call them smaller graces, but they're not small, and they're spiritual gifts. I think I said this before, but the word for gift is almost exactly the same word as the word for grace, because grace is given to us for free, and spiritual gifts are a form of grace. So in verse 10, Peter says, use what you've been given, and it sounds like it could be that's for later. Sorry, Winston. It sounds like it could be things like money or houses or cars. But in verse 11, he makes it clear he's talking about talents, things like speaking, things like serving. And he uses this beautiful phrase, multicolored grace. It's like I purposely tried to use different looking things, different pictures of things. The word of multicolored could be talking about a gemstone. You hold it up to the light, and as you turn it around, there's red and blue and yellow and purple and orange that are inside that one gemstone. Or it could be like a sunset. You know those really, really beautiful sunsets? When there's all the different colors. There's reds and yellows. There's sometimes like greens and purples and blues and a really, really beautiful sunset. And I think the point is we will only be a truly beautiful church when we're using all the gifts. We will only be a truly beautiful church when we're using all the gifts. Peter's writing to a suffering church. They're undergoing persecution. And he says we need to wait for Jesus to come back. Peter gives four priorities to the church as it waits: prayer, love, hospitality, and spiritual gifts. It's really, really interesting. Those four: prayer, love, hospitality, and spiritual gifts. We don't have time to go into the other ones, But if we put all those things into practice, we would be God's church, really. We would really be God's church. And Peter gives us the key to the spiritual gifts one in verse 10. Peter uses this word stewarding. I love this word. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards. As faithful stewards. So a steward is all about trust. It's a trust relationship. May Poon is here this morning. She has a special guest in her house this week. Her guest is a dog named Tutu. Tutu belongs to Pastor Josh and Jenny. And because Pastor Josh and Jenny are in Manitoba where it's minus 18 degrees right now, they can't take care of Tutu. And so they have given their precious one to May to take care of her, Tutu for a few days. How's it going, May? That's great. That's great. Yeah, yeah, the dog's still alive and having a great time. That's great. So May is, we know that Pastor Josh trusts May. We know that because there is a living dog inside her house. In a way, we could say she's stewarding. She's stewarding something given to her. The Bible has lots of examples of stewarding. The main one is about a household manager. So imagine some rich guy with a really big house and servants and workers. He chooses somebody to be the steward. So all these people who are servants and kitchen workers and field workers, they have a boss, and the boss is the steward. A good steward can manage all the people, keep everybody happy, and fulfill the wishes of the master. So the master can go drink tea with his wife or something, I'm not sure. We've watched Downton Abbey. It's a bit like that. A steward is somebody who is responsible for somebody else's stuff. And it's a relationship of trust. The master trusts all his resources and dogs or whatever to this person who is a steward. Okay, so that's what a steward is. As I've been thinking about stewarding, so this passage says we steward the various grace or the multicolored grace of God. As I've been thinking about this, stewarding is a very important idea for us because the basis of it is that God has trusted us and he's given us all kinds of things. Stewarding is important when we think about money. Stewarding is important when we think about our time. Stewarding is important when we think about our children, actually. Children are gifts to us that we steward, material things. But we also steward our spiritual gifts. They're given to us, and it's a great privilege to have them. I think many people do not walk around with a sense that God trusts them. Many people walk around not knowing that God has given them lots of things, and they can be sleepy to the gifts that God gives. We forget that God has given us many gifts. Stewarding is based on trust, and it means great responsibility is given to us. So I want us to go away from this series remembering the good things that God has given to us, including our spiritual gifts. What is your role in stewarding the many-colored grace of God? None of us has all the gifts, but we all have one of them, at least. And we are called to steward them and steward them well. Okay, I would like to invite my friend Ken back up and see how it's gone with him stewarding his gift. Ken, are you there?
Ben, I've been trying to use my gift.
Okay, great. That's great. How's it going?
Bad.
Really? I'm sorry to hear that. What's happened?
Well, you see, that gift that used to be really big,
it's really small now.
Wow.
And I can't open it. It's stuck.
Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I wonder why. Could you show me how you've been using your gift of encouragement?
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right. This is how I do it. Ken, I think you have really nice leg hair.
What?
All right, that was just warm up. Let me try again. Can, I think you're the strongest man in the whole world.
Ugh. What?
I think I'm using this gift of encouragement really well. Yeah, it's working.
Oh, Ken, that's not right at all. You can't do that.
What?
The gift of encouragement is so you can encourage other people.
You're not serious, right?
I'm totally serious. I'm so. What are you doing, Ken?
Guess I'm doing something wrong, Pastor Ben.
Yeah. Okay, well, why don't you try using the gift to build somebody else up?
All right, I guess that kind of sounds like a good idea. And, you know, why not start with Pastor Ben? Pastor Ben, I think you have really nice leg hair.
What?
All right, I'm just kidding. Ben, I think you're doing an amazing job with this talk.
Aw, thanks, Ken. That's great. Well, let's see what happens to the gift afterwards.
The gift? It's got bigger. Getting bigger.
It's big again. That's great. See, Ken, spiritual gifts are for using to help other people. When we use our gifts the right way, they actually grow. And when we don't use our gifts the right way, they're going to get smaller. Yeah.
I feel like I learned so much today.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Ken. Thank you very much. Yeah. That's great. So, children, I just want to say this. The primary purpose of spiritual gifts is to help other people. And when Ken was using the spiritual gift for himself, it didn't work very well. But when he encourages other people, it's actually very edifying. And I can say, I think Ken actually does have the gift of encouragement. And he's been very encouraging to me personally. So, I just want to finish by asking this question. What does it mean to be a good steward? So I was talking about stewarding before, so we asked this question. What does it mean to be a good steward? If you look at chapter 4, verse 10, it says, God wants us to be good stewards. Well, the first thing I'll say is, what does it mean to be a bad steward? We can be bad steward of our gifts if we don't use them. I think there are people who don't use their gifts for fear, apathy. There may be people not using their gifts. But we can also use them badly if we use them for selfish reasons. Ken was a nice example of that. If we use our gifts for our own gain, they're not being used well. It's a bad steward. And I just want to make a comment here. We can only use our gifts properly if we're connected to a living community. If you're not a person who is connected to some community in a real, deep way, you're not going to be able to use your spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are for other people. And if you don't have real relationships, you're not going to be able to use them. So, I think the primary thing to say about stewarding is a good steward depends on what you're stewarding. So, stewarding is for different things, and if you steward that thing well, it depends on what that is. So, May is stewarding a dog called Tutu. Stewarding means giving him water, taking him out for walks, and giving him food. If you're a financial person stewarding financial resources, you don't give water and food to the financial resources. You use the financial resources properly and diligently. So stewarding depends on what you're stewarding. And Peter gives us two instructions about stewarding for specific gifts, which are very, very interesting. And I want to talk about that briefly. So verse 11, so he talks about two kinds of gifts. Firstly, verse 11, if anyone speaks, he or she should do it as one speaking the very words of God. So Peter says there's one kind of gifting, which is speaking gifting. So that's not one gift, but one kind. So we could think of teaching, that's what I'm doing today, evangelism, prophecy. But there are also kind of interpersonal ones like encouragement, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And Peter says anybody who has a speaking gift should speak as if their words were the words of God. That's a big statement. The words that we speak are, in some sense, like the words of God. Now, this doesn't mean if I say something and I have a gift, you need to accept my words because I'm like God, so there. It doesn't mean if I say my thing, I'm authoritative like God. Churches get destroyed by people who do act that way, who take the mantle of God upon their words. I think it is something like this. We ask the question, what is God's word like? God's word brings life. God's word brings truth. God's word brings health and goodness when he speaks. I've got a proverb for us. I like proverbs. Proverbs 12, verse 18. I think it should be up there. Winston, do we have proverbs? Yeah, there we go. The words of the reckless pierce swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So when we have speaking gifts, we can use them in a way that brings good in the world, healing and life and goodness. And there is a way we can use our words like swords to cut down. So if you have a speaking gift, ask this question, what are my words accomplishing? What is the result of my words? And if they're not resulting in life, truth, and healing, you've got to go pray and ask for help from God. This also means, I make an application about sermons, that the authority of a sermon, which is a speaking gift, comes from God. That's maybe the other part of this idea. That is, we measure the truth of what we hear by its faithfulness to the Bible. I don't open my brain and ask what comes out of my brain when I preach. What I do is I ask what's in here in the Bible, and I listen to it as good as I can and tell you what's there. So when you listen to a preacher, you can ask yourself this question. Is this preacher faithful to the Bible? Okay, I just wanted to say that. So one kind of gifting is speaking, and you speak as if your words were God's words. The other kind of gifting Peter talks about is serving. So we've got it there, 4 verse 11. If anyone serves, he or she should do it with the strength that God provides. I'm thinking of gifts like administration, hospitality, helping is mentioned in the Bible, the gift of mercy. There's lots of serving gifts. And this verse tells us that God provides special energy to people who serve and who have the gift of serving. Actually, one of the key signs that you have a spiritual gift is you enjoy something. It's not the only sign, but one of the signs that you're doing something that is a spiritual gift is that you enjoy it as you do it. So, for example, hospitality. The Bible calls all of us to do hospitality. But there are people here who just love doing hospitality. And if you're somebody who just can imagine how I open my home and I welcome people, or I make food and I love giving people the food, if that gets you really excited, as an indicator, you might have the gift of hospitality. And there is a tension we have about doing things we don't have giftings for, which we do have to do, and doing things in our gifting. But I just want to say that it is possible to serve not with the energy that God gives. And when we serve not with the energy that God gives, we will burn out. There's lots of people at Fraserlands who are doing lots and lots of stuff, and we're very, very thankful. But if you start feeling angry, no joy, frustrated at church, maybe that's a sign to step back from all the serving that you're doing a little bit. As a pastor, my heart is that when you serve, you would have a combination of joy and being challenged. If the joy is gone and there's no challenge, we need to ask questions about your involvement. Verse 11 here says, God supplies strength or provides strength. It's a really, really, really interesting image. It comes from the chorus. We had a chorus this morning. The children were singing together, and I really appreciate the children singing. I guess it was Pearl was the chorus leader. I didn't quite see somebody standing there who's singing, and the children are following her singing. Actually, the olden picture was the one, there's the choir there and a singer, and the leader sings, and the chorus repeats the singing. We can imagine songs like that. And that's the word for providing or supplying, the leader. So when we serve, we want to be listening to God. God, where are you singing so I can serve in that way? And if he is calling us to serve, we will be able to serve with energy that he gives. I think it's an amazing little verse, actually. You know, these verses in spiritual gift series, 1 Peter 4 often gets forgotten. So I really wanted to do 1 Peter 4. So that's what I've been doing this morning. So we have these different kinds of gifts, speaking gifts and serving gifts. And the key to stewarding the speaking gifts is speaking in a sense like God. A key to the serving gifts is doing it with the energy that God provides. The very first thing we said at the beginning of this series is going to be the same thing we say at the end. The Holy Spirit gives us lots of things. If we talk about the tagline of the Holy Spirit, of what he does for us, he does life. He gives life. He gives life in conversion. He also gives life in spiritual fruit, that's character, and he gives life in spiritual gifts. He gives us so much stuff, and I'm so grateful that we've had this time to talk about what the Holy Spirit gives to us. But the primary thing that the Holy Spirit gives to us is access to Jesus Christ. We were singing about the blood of Jesus given to us. I want to end there too. We do not deserve to have spiritual gifts. We do not deserve to have the Spirit at all. But Jesus' death is actually the key to the Holy Spirit. It's a really interesting part of theology. It wasn't until Jesus had died and risen again that the Holy Spirit could be poured out in fullness. Yes, he came here and there in the Old Testament, but it's after the death and resurrection of Jesus that the Holy Spirit comes in fullness and dwells in us. So, his Holy Spirit is for us. My prayer is that as we finish this series, we will all go away encouraged by the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will ask these questions ongoingly. What are my gifts and what's my role in the kingdom? Let me pray. I want to pray. Father, I'm so thankful for this time to spend with children thinking about spiritual gifts. Lord, I ask that you will help us to know our gifts and to be able to use them. We ask this in your name. Amen.